Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Hotline, we welcome in Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. There are some new protocols going out there, and one, I don't know if it's going to sit with fans because it's like, hey, you can come to camp, but there's like a 20-foot distance that has to be kept, and it sounds to me, you know, Scott Petrak read it as, well, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of autographs out there. I guess I'd have to wonder the same thing. Do you think they're going to have any way of getting autographs other than, all right, these are pre-signed and here you go, here's some autographs?
You know, I think the Browns are very creative. They're very fan-oriented. And I think that they will probably find some way to be able to make something like that happen, even from a safe distance. You know, it's not going to be a situation where you can, you know, get in close and get your selfie and get handed your autograph necessarily. But I just really have a feeling that they're going to come up with ways that fans can still have a really good experience, because more so than maybe anyone in the NFL, that's what they care about, is the fan experience and making sure that their loyal and rabid fans are enjoying themselves wherever they're at related to the Browns. So I think they will come up with some things.
I hope that's true. I know that the Browns are going to do whatever they're allowed to do, and there are going to be guidelines from the NFL that are handed down. I know that one thing I kind of worry about over time everywhere in the NFL is that the NFL still made a boatload of money last year, even without fans. I hope they never lose that attachment, because I will never forget, you know, going up to Lakeland, going to training camp. Those guys were rock stars, getting autographs, seeing Bernie Kosar, Clay Matthews, just stick around and sign autographs forever after practice up at Lakeland, Harvard on the Hill, by the way. I'll never forget that, and I hope that never changes, even as the Browns continue to get better, and when the COVID stuff is over for the purposes of what we're talking about. I hope that the NFL and the Browns never lose sight of that.
Well, I think they all recognize that. I really do, especially, like I said, the Cleveland Browns. They understand that connection between the fans and the players, and I don't think they want to give that up anytime soon. The important thing, I think, to remember here for the fans is that they actually do get to come to training camp this year, so that is progress. I think that's great news for fans. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be exactly how they remember it, but it is actually happening. I mean, to go to every stadium that I went to last year, you know, even those New York games where there were no fans whatsoever in December, that was sad. That was really, really difficult to be in those stadiums and just to see that there were no fans, no noise except for pumped in noise. And that's changing. So it's progress, and it's going to be way better than last year.
That's good to hear. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. Obviously, it is something that's taken center stage with all of us in normal walks of life, whether or not companies, private businesses, what they're asking for in terms of seeing vaccination cards or inquiring about that. And we've all had to think about it one way, shape, or form. It seems like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the NFL is doing everything they can to incentivize their players to be vaccinated. Is that your read on this?
Oh, yes, absolutely, 100%. The NFL has taken a very, very strong and aggressive lead in trying to make sure that their players are vaccinated, that their employees are vaccinated, that any reporters covering the NFL are vaccinated, and they are coming down hard on anybody that's not. And you have seen the protocols for players that are unvaccinated. It's basically like saying, if you don't do this, we are going to make your life as miserable as possible. They are not messing around. I've not seen any other organization or any other sports entity coming down as hard as the NFL is on people on this issue. And I will say, now the Cleveland Clinic did a study last week. I don't know if it's considered to be peer-reviewed, but there have been a number of studies that have shown that the people with natural immunity that are COVID recovered have the same immunity as the vax, but that doesn't matter. With players, it does not matter. I think like 266 of them had COVID or tested positive for COVID last year. The NFL is not taking that into account. So any of these players on this team that are COVID recovered, they still also need to be vaxxed.
Mary-Kay, it seemed like the NBA is not taking that into account either. Their guidelines are stricter than the CDC guidelines. All these guidelines have been a moving target, obviously. But the NBA, you just saw with Chris Paul, a lot of people wondering how long he's going to be out for. It is interesting to see these leagues maybe be behind, somewhere ahead of the CDC. Now they're behind. And I'm just wondering, what does the players' union think about this? We obviously have a member of the players' union, a leader in the players' union, a pivotal member of this Browns team. What are we hearing about their thoughts on all of this?
They are in line with the NFL on this issue. Now, those two entities are not often aligned, but on this issue of vaccination, they absolutely are. The NFLPA has pushed and pushed for their players to get vaccinated. They have really encouraged it. They have provided as much information as they possibly can, but they are all about it as well. If they weren't, then I think they would have maybe tried to make some provisions for the players who have had COVID and feel or know that they have the natural immunity, which we don't know how long vax immunity lasts. We don't know how long natural immunity lasts. But regardless, you know, the league and the NFLPA are saying that the natural immunity in their minds as of right now, it just doesn't matter to them. So maybe as more science comes out on that issue, they will, they will take some of that into account. But as of right now, it's all about the vax for everyone.
Mary-Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When's Baker getting paid?
You know, I don't know, and I was saying this on a podcast yesterday. I don't know that it's going to happen before. I don't think it will happen before training camp. I think it might take a little bit longer than that. But the whole thing to remember here is that it's really not an issue of if. It's just a when. We all know how they feel about Baker Mayfield. They believe he is their future. They believe he's the guy that can win Super Bowls for them. And they're going to pay him, and he'll get paid handsomely, somewhere between $35 and $40 million a year. He's going to get his money. It's just a matter of when that makes sense for both sides. And I even asked Baker this yesterday. He can actually improve and enhance his financial position if he goes out and takes his team deeper into the playoffs and makes a Pro Bowl. I mean, I don't think it will take that long for him to get his new deal. But in the event they did wait until next offseason, he could probably make even more money than he would, say, in September.
Nick Chubb or Denzel Ward, if you had to pick, which one?
Oh, that's a tough one. You don't have to pick. So, they can re-sign both of those guys, and I believe that they will. I mean, Nick, even though running backs don't fall under the analytics jurisdiction of paying a ton of money, you know, Nick in some ways transcends the position. He's in some ways the face of the franchise or the embodiment of what they're looking for in a Cleveland Browns player. He wants to be here. He stated that. I think they will make every effort to extend him and pay him. I think he'll end up being happy with the money. I think it'll work for both sides. And I think Denzel is also a no-brainer. I mean, you don't find great cornerbacks like that everywhere. They drafted one. They developed him. And I think he'll get paid, too.
Well, there were some people questioning Denzel Ward going into yesterday before he had – or 2 days ago when he had made his comments, when he was asked. He wasn't like he offered up the comments. He was asked a question in the press conference about his future. He gave the typical answer that you probably would in that situation if you were Denzel Ward. But I think a lot of people have forgotten about him. You know, Pro Football Focus ranked him 12th of the top 25 under 25. And I looked at that list and I texted it to Lima yesterday and said, well, that he's getting paid. I mean, he's an analytical darling in that case. I know that he's had some missed games because of injuries there. So I agree with you. I think you could work it out between Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb in terms of money. What about Wyatt Teller, though? Because if I get pay Baker Mayfield and I pay Nick Chubb and I pay Denzel Ward, I know the cap's supposed to pop up here, but how much more is it going to pop up? I might have to make some tough decisions maybe elsewhere if I want to fit Wyatt Teller into that mix.
Well, you're right, and they will have conversations, and I'm sure have had conversations with Wyatt Teller's agent, because that is what you do at this time of year. That's what Andrew Berry is busy doing. He's working the phones with these guys, and they're trying to get these guys done or figured out in some way, if not done right away, the plan for when they will. And he is on that list, definitely. And you're right, they can't pay everybody double-digit millions. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. So if someone had to wait a little bit, maybe it's Wyatt. Maybe you let that one go a little bit, see the season that he has, see if maybe he can get some kind of a tag, or you can get something done after the season. So if you had to wait on one, if you just had to choose one, that would probably be the one.
Would Baker, Chubb, Denzel Ward, would they be in better shape if, say, John Dorsey was the GM as opposed to Andrew Berry in terms of getting paid and getting paid the most amount of money?
No, I don't think so, because John Dorsey, the cap was still governed by some of the people that are there right now. I mean, there was carryover from one regime to the other in that regard, and that was not his forte. And so they did not have him making all those financial decisions. Now they're, of course, all in alignment in all of that. You know, football, money, it all goes together hand in hand now. And so I think that these guys have just as good a chance as getting paid.
I guess the reason I ask the question is because, A, we know what happened with John Dorsey in Kansas City. He did draft some really good players. He also had a proclivity to paying those players, sometimes overpaying those players. And not to mention Baker, like someone like Baker, he's not exactly right now at this stage of his career. He has not been an analytical darling. But I feel like John Dorsey would go above and beyond to pay him and give him a huge contract right now. I don't know that Andrew Berry is as compelled to do that.
Well, you must remember that Andrew Berry was on that staff when they drafted Baker Mayfield. So this is not a situation where he inherited Baker. Sometimes that gets lost in the shuffle. He loves Baker Mayfield. He feels the same way about Baker Mayfield that John Dorsey did. So I think that I think he has every intention of paying him. I think the Haslams love him. I think everybody does from top on down. I think they look at 2019 as an aberration and just a failed season under Freddie Kitchen. I think they've kind of forgotten about that, and they're looking at what they saw mostly in the second half of last season. They believe the arrow is still pointing up, and I think he will get paid.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you think of Ben Roethlisberger? Do you think he's washed up?
You know what? I think Ben Roethlisberger needs to be protected, and I think he needs to have a running game. And those are two things that they did not do with him last year. When you get up into the 30s, unless, of course, you're, you know, just a freak of nature like a Tom Brady, you need to be supported because you are on the back nine, obviously. So if he has a really good running game and a really good offensive line, I still think he can be a winning quarterback. You've got to have a good defense and everything else around him. He's not going to go out and carry a team. But with that receiving core that he has, you know, I still think they can be good. I don't know if they have the offensive line or the running game yet. I mean, they have the running back. But do they have the running game to support him and to support, the line to protect him? If they have those two things, then I don't think that you can count them out. This is a good organization that knows how to win. It's a coach that knows how to win. And generally, it's a good defense. I mean, that playoff game got so out of hand for them early on. But this is still a good defense that you're looking at over there in Pittsburgh.
Mary Kay, I thought you might have some pretty good insight on this because it was reported yesterday, Ken and I were going to get into this at some point, that in Baltimore, they are not permitted right now to show Lamar Jackson throwing to wide receivers. I know that sounds insane, but they got into some hot water because there was some not so flattering imagery put out there, I guess, in camp early on when it came to one of his throws. And everybody was making fun of him. So now that's just taken off the table. Everybody's kind of poking fun at the Ravens for this. Has that ever been the case? Have you ever run into anything like that in all your years covering football?
No, I mean, we are not supposed to show, you know, formations and take a wide shot on things. So that's one issue that, you know, they don't want, you know, to be able to show that they are, you know, whatever in the shotgun in this situation or whatever the case may be, three wides. So you're not supposed to really do that. But other than that, no, there really haven't been any restrictions on what you can and cannot show. That's interesting. I mean, that draws more attention to it, actually. But yeah, I've often thought that what they should do in Baltimore is they should have someone with an amazing arm that could come in certain situations and just sort of make up for whatever deficiency you think Lamar might have. And I think people coddle quarterbacks too much. I mean, so what? You come out and stand on the sidelines for a down or a situation here or there and throw somebody in there for a changeup. And if I were the Ravens, I would do that.
Mary Kay, I'm in charge of snacks tonight for the T-ball team. What should I bring? Mm.
Well, it can't be anything that's like too messy. It can't be something that's going to melt. It can't be something that's going to be chocolate all over their faces, especially because it's going to be hot today. And also then, of course, Ken, you got to think of peanut-free. You got to think of gluten-free.
Oh, my God.
I really got to think of gluten-free.
They're gonna
I really got to think of gluten-free.
They're going to cancel snacks. They will. They're going to cancel.
I would say I would go with a healthy fruit snack, not like sort of a maybe, you know, some kind of a fruit snack that isn't like super high in sugar. I would go with maybe more of a, maybe a little bit more of a natural type of fruit snack.
Ken?
Wish you could see my face right
Point,
now.
Counterpoint?
I wish you could see my face right now.
What are you planning on bringing, Ken?
Tall boy steel reserves.
Get them started early.
Sorry, go ahead.
So you don't like my idea of the natural fruit snack? I mean, it's not they're not messy. They like them.
I said kids love avocado these days. I said get real healthy. Let's go.
All right. I'm sure people will weigh in on this for us. But, yeah, there are a lot of things to think about with the T-ball fruit snack. I mean, with the T-ball snack, no doubt.
Mary Kay, thank you for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.